presently studying the dispensations. You that are new in the class, this dispensational truth is very important to your lives to rightly divide the Word of God. We have already studied three of the dispensations. And as we come to this 12th chapter of Genesis, we will go into the fourth dispensation. You that have a Scofield Bible, you'll see that that's how they head it. Up to this time, to bring you that are new in the class, we covered the garden. It was an innocent time, that is, Adam and Eve. They failed. And we studied the age of conscience. That is, they were conscience between what was good and what was evil. And then we studied, after the flood, human government. And man was given authority over the earth. If you read the difference, the few different things that God told Noah after the flood, you will see that he gave him authority over the earth, and from that time on it was different. Man failed at the Tower of Babel, and God changed their language. Genesis 9, they were told to spread abroad, to repeople, to replenish the earth, and they wanted to become one without God. So God destroyed them, left off from building that tower by changing their language. And by the way, that's a miracle, isn't it, that we read about? Another miracle is miracles begin to happen in the Bible. Same as on the day of Pentecost. They spoke with tongues. Only he just changed their understanding that certain groups just understood a new language. And as we go through the Bible, we'll see how God begins to show us his attributes. And I can't help but think of Jesus when he said, which is the ultimate, he knows how many hairs are on your head. Think of that. That's all knowledge. He knows how many blades of grass are out there in that lawn and how many are in the next plot of lawn. And as he begins to bring this about and prove that he does. But anyway, they at the Tower of Babel, which is confusions, they called it a way to God, or gate. God renames it confusion. Any other way except the blood way will lead to confusion. It's no way to God. And let's turn to Romans 1:20. We'll, up to this time, read what happens here. Well, 19. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And then, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Notice the first thing was, neither were they thankful. That's the first mark of getting away from God, is not to be thankful. But became empty or vain in their imaginations. And notice we have this imagination, our imaginations again. First, it is said before he destroyed the earth that the imagination of mankind is continually evil. In other words, his scheming and his planning is nothing but evil. And then, when they were building the tower, he said, let's go down and see what his imagination will lead to. And he said, God is amazed what his imagination and man's imagination will do. After the flood, he said, I will not destroy man by water anymore and give us the rainbow, because he said his imagination is evil from his youth. And here it says they were empty in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools and changed the glory or the worship of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. Notice we didn't have idol worship. They were just wicked, but there was no record of idol worship until now, that we're going to read about, or until after the flood. And God into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts. Notice how they go down. They don't evolve. They go lower and lower. And of course, what it amounts to is they had to maintain their own God. Anytime that you make an image, you're going to find out that that God is not going to keep you, but you're going to have to keep that God. That is why that there's never a pressure offering here. You don't maintain this God. He maintains you. And so if you're worshiping a false god, you will find out that you will have to continually maintain that false god. Now, we come into another age, and we'll read the family tree now of Abraham, or Abram as he's called at this time. Let's read from 11:27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran, this died before his father. Before his father, it just doesn't say Haran died. And it's thought that Haran was offered as a sacrifice by this time. Before his father, Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees, or that's southern Iraq, and Abraham and Nahor took them wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarah, his half-sister, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, and the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren, she had no child. Now from this, if it seems as if, and 31, I'll just go ahead and read 31. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his sons, Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, if you'll read from Joshua 24:2, you'll see that they were idol worshipers. They worshipped and served other gods. This is Abraham and his family. Matter of fact, it is thought that they had an idol shop. And that Joshua 24, same chapter, 14 through 15, you'll see that it said, put away the gods that your fathers had right after the flood, as you'll read it there, which their father was Abraham. And they worshiped these idols, as we read in Romans 1. Now it would appear here that Terah was the one that was leading, and he was the one that was called. And I heard on a TV a preacher say that Lot was called too, but he didn't enter into it. Well, this, in Isaiah 51:2, you'll read that only Abraham was called. The other two went along. Lot is a type of a Christian. He's saved, but he just goes along. When Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, it said he lingered. He could not get away from being worldly. And this is what we're going to have all the way through here. Separate yourself from the world. The flood came because the sons of God, or the Seth line that was saved, intermarried with the daughters of the unsaved. And now, God, as Acts 14:16 will tell you, that as far as the Gentiles were concerned, God gave them up at this time. And picks one man out. And he picked Abraham. He didn't pick Terah. Terah means delay. Haran, where they... And by the way, it isn't the same Haran as his brother, because it's spelled with two H's. But it means parched. A parched place. It figures the old creation. When you're first saved, the old man is going to do the leading. And until you recognize that, you're going to end up in a parched, delayed place. And now we'll start this 12th chapter. And we will see here that it was the Lord that had just called Abraham alone. Now the Lord had, to begin with, said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. This is what he had said. He had not said this to his father. And the delay and the parched places that Abraham gets into are places of unfruitfulness. And your life can come to a place where you may sit there, as people said, and just spin their wheels the rest of your life. But we'll notice that there are seven different promises in this that Abraham is promised here at the first. He was told three things to do. One thing he obeyed, and two things he disobeyed right at the first. He was to get out of the country, which he did, but he didn't get away from his kindred and from his father's house. And he was delayed in a dry land. But then you can read here, and I won't go into each and every one of these as we'll try to get through this lesson. But you'll notice that there's seven different things that he said that he would do for Abraham. And if you know the history of Abraham, these things have mainly been done. But notice he says that first he would show him a lamb. And then, in verse 7, when he's there, he says, I will give thee this lamb. As the promises grow deeper. And then in chapter 17, he makes seven more deeper promises, as you'll notice, where he changes his name. And then you'll have to study those on your own to see the promises that have been made, that is to the Jew, and the promises that are still to be fulfilled. But we will go ahead, turn into Jeremiah now, and Jeremiah 31, 33. Well, let's go to 31. This is Jeremiah 31, 31. Now, we have seven more, starting with 33, of what the eternal covenant or the eternal promise will be to the Jews. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Get this after, this little word after now. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inwards part, number one. Two, I will write it in their hearts. Three, I will be their God. Four, and they shall be my people. Five, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. A nation shall be saved in a moment. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Six, and I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The reason that they did not know the Lord is in John 12:45, John 15:23, and 16:3, there you will find that in John 12, it says, the reason that you cannot see me is because you see my Father is because you can't see me. See that the only way you're going to see him is to see me, which they refuse to do. And then in 15:23, it says, the reason that you hate me is because you hate my Father, and vice versa. And then in 16:3, he says, the reason that you don't know God is because you don't know me. So, know the Lord no more. Those three things will happen. They will see, and they'll love him instead of hate him, and then they will know God. There's only one way that you see, or that you don't actually hate God, or that you know, is through his Son. He is the revelation of God. So at this time, we see there what will happen to Israel. And as we, verse 6, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abraham was 75 years old, and he departed from Haran. And he took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and look at that, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. Even in this dry place, they had won souls to the Lord. And so it is. God honors his word. Even in this dry place, they had led people to believe in the coming Messiah or the seed. And don't think that during that time they look forward to Christ or the seed. Even the Samaritan woman knew this. She said, "We know when Christ cometh, he shall show us all things, the seed." And they had won these souls. And they went forth into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. And Abraham passed through the land into a place of Shechem, which means shoulder, but we won't get into all the types here, into the plain of Moron, which is instruction, and the Canaanite was in the land, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Now here is the first time that you see an appearing of God since Adam. You never read that God appeared to Noah or Abel. But this appearing, this is the first time it's in the Bible, but we know from Acts 7:2 that God had, or the God of glory had, when it said in verse 1 here, "And the Lord had appeared." If we didn't have Acts 7:2, we would not know that God, the God of glory, had appeared at that time unto Abram. In other words, here he was in his idol shop. The idols and the real God of glory appeared unto him. What a wonder. But here we have one man now singled out, and as you'll read there in Romans, that they gave God up and then God gave them up is what happened. The entire human race. And now up to this time, you and I on these covenants, remember what the covenants are. Your reformists, they only see two covenants. They only see from Adam, and from then on, of course, there was grace. They are right in a way, but they cannot divide what from this age to the law age back to the grace age. And they'll tell you everybody, the church is one, the law is one, and if you never get to rightly divide this, you will stay a babe all your life. These people can quote a lot of scripture and they see quite a lot of things, but they always get tangled up in the grace age and the law age. And up to this time we're reading a lot of history. But when we get over to the 19th chapter of Exodus, you've got to understand what happened there and what happened at the cross. When he nailed that part of all the writings, and Corinthians 2:3, which was the stone, every bit of it to his cross. We read there in Jeremiah, finally it will be a heart thing, a love thing. And as James tells us, the royal law, if you keep the royal law, you don't have to worry about any of the other laws, do you? It's a heart thing. And it will finally be a heart thing with them. All of them will be saved. All of them will be born again. All of them will have a changed heart. There's Lynn and Scott. There, their son or their daughter doesn't come in and hide their money from them. It'd be foolish, wouldn't it? They don't worry about you stealing their money. Why? They know they love them. They give them money. And you that have children, I realize that what sin has done to the human race, we read it all the way through. You can't imagine what sin has done when a father or mother will steal from a child. But which of you had to have a law here in the state for you to take care of your children, to love your children? So it will be. It's a natural thing when they're born to you. And this is what it will be during that time. But anyway, you'll see that he appeared. 15:1, a vision or different things. His appearing was unto Abraham. And unto thy seed will I give this land. Notice it's a land. Up in the first dispensation, we, our father was told not to eat of the forbidden fruit of knowledge of good and evil. We don't have to take of that, do we? We have that. We know the difference between good and evil. Our eyes are open. And then we are told, of course, we're told not to mix. Some of us still do that, but that's what it is all the way through. Love not the world nor the things of the world. You can't mix with it without coming out hurt. It just won't work. And then we don't have to be told to multiply and repeople the earth. All these countries are trying to keep people out. And we're not given this land. The same is, turn to Ephesians 2:11 there. And this promise now here that he's given Abraham completely leaves you out. You are, unless you're a child, and during this time there's neither Jew or Greek. But at this time we will read there that in Romans 2:11 it says, remember that you Gentiles called uncircumcision by the Jews, that's what it is, that in times past, in this time, you were without Christ. And notice it says without Christ, not without God. He's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And it's still the same thing. If you didn't believe in the seed, you were without God. But they were without Christ, or Jehovah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Having how much hope? No hope. You had no hope and without God in the world. But now, Christ Jesus, you that were afar are brought nigh the same way by the blood of Christ. But as far as this promise, it left all of us out. Now during this time, you'll have 2 Kings 5. You'll see a Gentile there, Naaman. And he was a Gentile. He was a captain of the Syrian army. And sure enough, God graciously saved him and healed him. He's a type of the sinner. He's a type of the sinner that's well looked up to. He's a great politician. He's a kind and gentle man. He's very knowledgeable, but yet he's got leprosy. Leprosy speaks of sin, and so it didn't make any difference what he had or what he was, did it? If you got leprosy, if you're a sinner and you've never been saved, it doesn't matter how far you climb up in this world. You're a leper. But anyway, he goes to Elisha. A little maid tells him about Elisha, and he went a long ways. And here he's going to buy salvation when he gets there. Because he brought a lot of money. A lot of changes of clothes. And that's how most people like him are. They're going to buy their salvation. And lo and behold, when he gets to Elisha's place, Elisha won't even come out to see him. Just sends him a message. Go dunk 7 times in the Jordan. Admit don't go down 1 time. You got to admit you're a sinner. It's got to be a perfect admittance with a person like that. Because one time would have been just as much had it not been a type. There we find out that Naaman, he was cleansed of leprosy, which shows that, and then from then on he wanted some dirt to take back to the king of Syria so he could put the dirt down there when he had to kneel down with his king in front of his God. He didn't want to kneel on their dirt. He wanted to kneel on the dirt from Jerusalem. He was touched anyway. You have to leave a person like that. He was saved to work it out for themselves, don't you? But anyway, he said, when he got there, he said, at least I thought a great man like me, he'd come out and put his hand over me. My son, I bless you. And go through all this religious stuff that they go through. See, that's what he thought was going to save him. But we have types like that through this age. And then in Acts 10:35, you'll read there that during this age, anybody that called upon the name of the Lord was saved. If they trusted in the seed to come, and that his heel would be bruised, and that he would die for them. But as a whole now, from now on reading to this Bible, till we do get to Acts, it's Jewish. You have a book like Job, but I feel that Job wasn't written before this time, or he didn't live before this time. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been all these questions. If he was aware of Joseph's life, why all these questions in Job? And then there's certain books that are bridal truth, but there's 11 verses, and you have to realize that under the law, the four books are still written under the law. So from there to there is to one people, mainly. And then we, starting with this 12 we went over, we'll find out, we give you the promise of the patriarchs, the three of them, and this dispensation now, our ages, we will find out that there's idolatry all the way through. Now the one thing that God has told them not to do is to intermarry or to intermix. He wanted one nation. And if you'll read when the 12 are born, the first thing that they do is that they sell Joseph into Egypt. They sell him there. And then in chapter 38, now these promises, or this promise and these promises, are first they're given to Abraham. Then they're reaffirmed to Isaac and Jacob. Then in chapter 38, Judah, you'll see that he marries a Canaanite, Sarah. He marries in with the Canaanites. And then in 49, 5 and 7, Simeon and Levi are cursed. So already the devil and God and God's people are having the same thing over. So then God, when they sell Joseph, and I notice that as soon as Joseph typically is taken out of the pit, we have the story of Judah, which is the Jew. And you go through there all the types, and you'll see how from how the Jew was during this age, from the crucifixion of Christ. All that is a type of how he is faithful and unfruitful during this time. And then, of course, he did tell Jacob, don't be afraid to go on down to Egypt. But his children had already intermarried or loved the world. It's still the same thing. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. You're a separate people. Abraham, first he had faith, and then God completely separated. He ended up separating him from his family and from Lot. He was a pilgrim the entire time. And we have that type. And then they're sold off into Egypt. And God then makes sure that they would be one people. They begin, let's go to Ezekiel. We'll find out what they started to do. Let's see. I think it's 5. Yeah, Ezekiel 25. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt. And I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lifted up my hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt unto the land I espied for them flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. The only reason it isn't, like Cain, it hasn't yielded its strength yet. But when this land yields its strength over that, the grape will be as big as the grapefruit. Their crops will just rot for fertilizer when it happens. And then he says in 7, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man his abominations and his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled against me and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away his abomination and their eyes, neither did they forsake their idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them and accomplish my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. And he allowed them to become slaves. There they would not mix. There's where they became a people in the hard times. And many times in your life, God might have to allow some horrible thing like this to come into your life for you to be separate. And so he allows them to become the slaves in Egypt. And then they cross the Red Sea, and we go into a different now dispensation. They are one people now. And many times in your life, if you refuse to be separated, he may allow you to really become a slave of the old devil and of Egypt. And of course, they wanted to go back, a lot of them, because why is it when the Lord delivers us, we forget the whip of the devil quickly, don't we? When we are enamored with the world. Grace will be next. I mean law.